People trust, again, who they see present. The leaders led, the hiders hid. I've done a ton of business as a result of these things.
Welcome to Start With A Win, where we unpack franchising, leadership, and business growth. Let's go.
And coming to you from Start With A Win headquarters at Area 15 Ventures, it's Adam Kontos with Start With A Win. I had the honor of being on the Culture Matters podcast recently, and we wanted to share it with you. This is part one of two with Jay Doran on Culture Matters. Take a look.
Hello, Culture Matters podcast. Boy, am I excited for this guest. Before I introduce them, here's a quote just for this episode. What good are you as a business or as a business leader if you don't care about your people? Adam Kontos, CEO. Our guest today is a friend of the Culture Matters podcast, actually a supporter since almost the very beginning. Season 5, episode 58. If you're listening to this episode, go check out that episode. Our guest today started out as a Marine, served this country. Thank you for that. Tech founder, SWAT commander, a consultant of security, and inevitably worked his way up to become the former CEO of the International Remax, if you heard of them today, co-founder of Area 15 Ventures, investor and advisor and coach, author of Start With A Win podcast, book, and Start With A Win podcast. This is when my mind starts to get jumbled. Geez, I didn't even say his name yet. Adam Kontos, CEO. Thanks for coming back to the Culture Matters podcast, man.
Hey, thanks for having me here. It's great to see you again.
There's so much. The last time you were on the show was where we posted it, July of 2020.
Oh, man.
And my first question is, if we could sum up the lessons of 2020 for the audience, you know, where do we start? Is there a word that sticks out, you know, other than win or something like that?
Wow. Yeah. I would say presence, because that's what we lost from each other, is the presence that we all had. And that's what kind of, you know, delineated between strong leaders and weak leaders and strong culture and weak culture, is how do you continue to maintain that presence? Because I've always said this, presence creates trust. And once we lose that presence, we lose the trust amongst each other. So a lot of people had to put it back together in the post-COVID period. But those, you and I, we spent so much time on video with everybody that we maintained it.
What is it about presence that creates trust in your view?
The more we see somebody, the more we are attached to them. So it's called a parasocial relationship. And what we end up doing is, realistically, regardless of, you know, what, you know, people need to make you feel good when they see you or when you see them, things like that. We need to reciprocate that positive feeling. But ultimately, the more we see people, the more consistent we believe that interaction is going to be. And that's where that trust is built, is we're depositing in that trust account every time, we see each other. As a result, we anticipate how that next, interaction is going to be, and therefore the trust grows.
I've been watching you and following you on the Instagram and seeing you share various videos of lessons. You think there's a connection to that, the value and output or volume of sharing your thoughts and your philosophies and the viewers? There's a relationship being built.
Of course,
you're being seen. I'm curious what you.
Yes, 100%. There is a connection there. The more that you can get in front of people, if people see you every single day, Jay, ultimately they're going to be connected to you in their head and in their heart. And that's how this whole psychological principle of parasocial relationship came about, is in the 1950s, psychologists looked at how people connected to soap opera stars. So we started watching TV, listening to radio. I say we, you and I weren't around then, obviously, but, but back in that time, people started listening to the radio and watching TV and getting connected to these different characters, and they fell in love with them. And when you think about it, you know, like, let's take Taylor Swift, for example. She has done an incredible job of building a parasocial relationship with all the Swifties out there, where they see her, they're endeared to her, yet they've never met her in person simply because she's omnipresent to them. And they trust her because of that. So it's just, it's a different scale that we're all involved in. But I'll tell you what, if you're a leader and you're present, even on video or on Instagram or what have you, you're going to build that relationship with the people that you connect with. Whereas if you don't, back to COVID, the leaders led, the hiders hid, and those that hid during that time fell from their companies as leaders. They weren't respected or trusted anymore.
And how do you define hid in that time?
I would just say not being present. You know, where there's a difference between available and present, or available and accessible. So, you know, if you are accessible, yet not necessarily available, that's what I always say, always accessible, never available. As a leader, you know, people can reach out to you and eventually get in touch with you, but ultimately they feel like they are accessing you because they can see and hear you. They're connecting with you emotionally. Right now, you and I just see each other and hear each other on video, yet we're connecting emotionally. And those that listen to watch the video of this, see the clips on social media, things like that, they're listening to you and I connect, and they're part of that conversation, because ultimately the human brain does not know the difference between seeing somebody on the four corners of this screen here or hearing it in their head between their ears and being in person. Our memory serves the same purpose and says, "Oh, I was part of that conversation."
When an employee says, "Oh, you know, you to an authority figure, you're too busy, or I don't want to bother you. I know how busy you are." What does you think that signifies? Being available, not accessible. If I have it right.
Yeah, I think you know, it seems like. Well, first of all, people kind of downgrade themselves. They're like, "Oh, you know, I don't get to see you. You're too busy." Things like that. It's a little bit of, you know, shame on both of us. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, they want to see you more. And I heard this: if I stop doing video for a period of time, and I put out a video pretty much every single day during COVID, if I stopped doing video, I would hear from people, "Hey, I've seen you a lot, but I didn't see you yesterday." So, you know, they have that connection, they have that expectation. If you take it away from them for a day or something like that, and I've been doing video once a day for months now, as well, putting out content every single day to help people, they want to connect with each other. We're social human beings or social beings, and this is how they connect. So it's you're fulfilling that in their heart by just simply being in front of them.
We have an audience of content creators, entrepreneurs that are either on, they're doing content like that, or and want to do more,
right?
Or want to jump in the game. What advice do you have for those listening that are like, "Wait, one a day? Okay, how the heck? Where'd you start at?" Let's unpack that a bit.
And first of all, let's be clear: the one a day is a couple minutes a day, and ultimately, it comes down to. Us batch creating a whole bunch of videos. So I don't create a video every day. I create 10 videos every 10 days. And you come up with those videos. I send it off to be edited very briefly. There's nothing spectacular about it. You know, some sound and some light editing, maybe some words put in there. And you can do all this on, you know, like CapCut or something like that. CapCut's a great app to do that. In fact, TikTok
is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an app on your phone, and you can do that. Just set up your phone and create 10 different ideas that are about you, that are, you know, something that you would come up with and mean what you're teaching. You know, my thing is start with a win and the personal and business growth and development. So those are the ideas around which I create content. We shoot 10 of those in, you know, really it takes like half an hour or 45 minutes at the most to shoot 10 videos that way. And it's from the heart. We put those out. There's 10 days worth of content there. And, you know, 7 or 8 days later, you do 10 more and you end up with so many in the can waiting to go out the door at some point. And you just keep refilling that. And what that does is, first of all, it makes you better at it. So practice creates perfection here. And we want to continue to improve ourselves. So why not practice, put yourself out there, content creators, and connect with your audience, and you'll see your audience start to grow. And here's the important thing, Jay. I've done a ton of business as a result of these things. People trust, again, who they see present. And if you're there, you don't have to do this cold intro. You can say, hey, it's Adam. You know, I see you've been watching some of my videos. I see you connected by filling out this email form or what have you. Just wanted to touch base with you. And they're like, oh yeah, I love your stuff. And you've already kind of broken the ice on this trust. So why wouldn't you start creating content?
In essence, is that leveraging the parasocial phenomenon on a micro influencer level? I'm not Taylor Swift.
Right.
Someone listen to this. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing, is you're leveraging that parasocial relationship. We don't need to be face-to-face touching somebody in order to build a relationship. We can build a relationship via video all day long. And the more you do that, the tighter the relationship. And then when you do meet somebody in person, it's hilarious because people give you a hug. They're like, I feel like we've known each other for years, yet we've just now met in person. I've had that happen many times as you're building your brand and building this relationship. And, you know, I'm on the Culture Matters podcast here. Here's the reality. You know, this builds your culture. This is what your culture is about. I took over as the CEO of a franchise company about 12 months ago. It's called Port of Subs. It's a sub sandwich company. And
wow, congratulations.
Thank you. We acquired the business. It's an amazing company with incredible people. And we've been pushing out video constantly to these people. And I see them in person every several months. And they're like, hey, I watch your videos. I feel like I know you. I feel like, you know, we're next door neighbors or best friends or whatever. It works. It's how we've built the culture in this company around how I think the culture of a business needs to be, because they hear what I'm saying every day. If you could hear what your boss says every single day, would that affect how you live your life and build your culture and run your ethics and things? Absolutely. It's simple. It's just transparency.
Churchill won us the war.
Exactly.
Talked every day, I think.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I like to read that damn Lion book. It's like three freaking, it's over here somewhere. Anyway, that comes to mind. Churchill on the radio every day. I have a question about the why then do I hear constantly that the camera isn't enough or the virtual world isn't enough for the culture?
Well,
why are we hearing that a lot? Or at least I am. We got to get everybody back.
We got to get people together. Yes. You know, nothing beats interpersonal communication. But the thing that's secondary to that is visual and audio. And I don't just mean crappy video. You know, yes, crappy video is okay. But the reality is high quality video, high quality audio, where the intimacy of somebody's voice between your ears and the sight of them at the same time really makes a difference to people in their lives. If they can hear the soft caringness in your voice, it's the same as somebody you're sitting next to closing their eyes and listening to you. It goes straight to your heart. So sure, video is secondary to being in person, but I'll tell you what, I can touch so many more people via video than I can in person. And that's what it's about. I want to spread my culture. I want to spread my beliefs. I want to spread my message because I want to help people get better with it. And this is the best way to scale that.
When you were last on, we didn't have the book. So what was the inspiration?
You know, it's funny because I had the podcast Start With a Win, and I got a call from a book production company, and they said, hey, do you want to write a book? I go, yeah, I'm using you guys as my publisher. And they said, absolutely. I said, okay, what do you want to call it? And they go, how about Start With a Win? That's what your podcast is.
Wow.
So I went through this naming process and things like that. And I'm like, they were right. It's Start With a Win. It's got to be, because it has all the different components of Start With a Win. I mean, I live my life based upon a set form of circumstances. I get up at the same time every day. I go to the gym. I map out my day. I keep a plan. I work my plan. I execute. I monitor my health, my relationships, you know, my businesses, things of that nature. And that's what they wanted to talk about. And why do I live that way? So, you know, we went back into, I was in the military, like you mentioned, I was in law enforcement. I ran a SWAT team. I built training courses. I did some tech startups, things like that. And the reality is all of these work off of the same framework. And that's kind of what we talked about. And that framework is you've got to be a good leader. You've got to be growing every day. You've got to be redelivering that growth back to the people that you're serving. Because I don't look at the people that listen to this as customers. I mean, these are the people that I serve. I want to help them be better and them be inspired to make themselves better every single day. So that's ultimately what the book is about, is building yourself better and thus building your business better.
What a powerful truth of the parasocial. Because if the institution is following you and saying, there's a whole book around this.
Absolutely.
Because you have this podcast, Start With a Win. How many days did you do that show before that happened?
I couldn't tell you how many.
Was how it long? Years?
Yeah, we had a couple of years of Start With a Win under the belt before the publisher called me.
Was that daily? Like,
no,
that,
it's once a week.
Was it weekly?
Once a week, and then every other week we do something called a quick win, which is a short. But now we've got shorts coming out pretty much every day, as well as the weekly podcast.
Hmm. What do you what would be your advice to someone that's been thinking about starting a podcast but has hesitated, or you know, it just hasn't manifested. It doesn't exist. It's just an idea.
Right. I would say do it. It's not difficult. Podcasting is not a difficult thing to do. I mean, you and I have been doing it for a long time, Jay. And I mean, we both started someplace, and it was funny because I hired a.
Anyone listening? Are you there?
Yeah, exactly. It's just you and I talking, buddy. So you start talking to somebody, just one person, and you start adding to that, and then you learn about this.
Proved it. The parasocial. I love that term. I haven't not heard of it, and I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, so. It's a fantastic concept. It is proof of concept for this whole thing. But ultimately, doing a podcast now is not. It's way easier now than it was 5 years ago because the technology is built for podcasting. It specifically exists. It makes it super easy for somebody to podcast. But what I would say is. And they can go to my YouTube channel, How to Sound. I have a video called How to Sound Better on a Video or a Podcast. And go check that out. It's, I think, like 8 to 10 minutes. And essentially, we go through lighting, we go to sound, we go through camera and angle and things like that, and kind of stair step you up to how to.
I need that.
I'll send it to you, Jay.
Yeah, we can coach me next. Finish what your thought is. I got more questions.
There we go. But here's the reality. People will watch a bad video, but they won't listen to bad sound. They want good sound that makes them feel good. It's the sound that makes you feel good. It's the video that validates the sound. So if you think about it that way, that's why high quality podcasts are so well listened to, because people want to connect with somebody who sounds good, who they can, you know, I want to go see what this person looks like. You got to have that available. But ultimately it comes down to, you gotta sound good.
How can Adam Kanto, CEO, executive coach, you're looking at my setup, lay it in on me. What do I need to do better? How can I show up better?
All right. Well, I mean, what am I doing wrong? I'll take you through the steps here. The first one
I know it's not, you know, that's my projection right now.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, the first one is your camera angle. You want to be looking straight on at the camera. Okay.
I'm not.
No, you're looking down.
Where the hell am I looking?
You're kind of looking down a little bit. I could see the ceiling behind you, buddy. You look like you're.
I should have figured this out 268 ago.
Yeah.
The beginning of the year.
You look like you're about 12 feet tall. But
I recorded 11 since the 2nd of January. You should have called me on the 2nd.
That's right. People will forgive you if they know you're working on it.
I want them to see me fail. You know, like.
There you go.
Please help somebody.
I don't know. All right. So your camera angle, raise your camera up to be eye level. And. Now it's looking up even more.
Like this?
You got to lift it up so that it's looking straight to you.
I gotta like
put it on a book. There you go. Look at that.
Let me get some.
You know what's interesting is your microphone actually works better on your MacBook or whatever computer you are if it's right at mouth level. Oh, he's grabbing a stack of books here.
There you go. We got Adam Smith. You've read a lot of this stuff. Ogilvy.
Yeah.
The podcast guest, Grandfather, Ulysses. Margin of Safety is a good one for the investors.
Hey, collectors. I got a question for you. Have you read Essentialism yet?
I've listened to some of it.
Okay.
McGowan, Greg.
Yeah, Greg McGowan. Yeah.
There you go. Great. I've heard great things about it.
Yeah,
I've only listened to the intro.
That's the latest one that I'm in right now. It's The Disciplined Pursuit of Doing Less.
The Disciplined Pursuit. Let's get some Kierkegaard. Okay.
There we go. All right. Let's set this up.
Is this too high?
Yeah, that's wait, let's see. Oh, that looks great. That looks great. Look at that. Okay.
Is that better?
That's way better. You actually sound better now because you don't have an echo off your desk.
This is gonna make a serious difference, I believe, if in everything.
Yeah. So, okay. So this is the first step is to raise up your camera. So it's eye level. I mean, it, I actually look like I'm looking across the table to you right now instead of.
Can you believe that? No, I got a psychological question for you. What could be the reason no one's told me this up to this point? Roughly, if I think about it, you know, there's somewhere around 460 or so podcast. I mean, some of them are monologues, but. The lion's share of podcasts, right? With guests.
Right.
And by the way, 20 to 30 recurring guests. I got like friends come out all the time, contemporaries. What could lead to nobody telling me this?
I have no idea. I mean, it's here's the funny
thing.
I
mean, I haven't asked. I guess I could.
Yeah. So like my last producer, branding company, fantastic guy. He's the one who taught me how to podcast. He looked at every time we would have a guest on, he'd be like, okay, we're going to fix your camera. And so he would make those adjustments with the camera, raise it up, pull the screen down a little bit. So you're looking straight on. And the reason a lot of people don't do this is very few use a stand to lift their camera up. You know, you've got the professional podcasters a lot of times also, you will see people that, you know, use a two camera shoot or something like that. In fact, I have a videographer here, media producer here, and he was just walking around with a handheld, taking some handheld shots of me talking. But ultimately it comes down to, how do you want to look at somebody when you're talking to them? Do you want them standing above you where you're like looking up at them? No, you don't. So it's a factor, first of all, of leadership. You don't want to be looking down on your employees when you're Zooming with them. So it creates a culture of, okay, how do I feel when I'm talking to this person? If you're looking straight across to them, it's a little more comforting because we're on the same level, if you will, you know, to kind of put a quote to it. You got to be on the same level as the people that you're speaking with. You don't want to be talking down to anybody that's just condescending. It's not the right culture that you want to create within your organization. So this is the first step, is just to raise up your camera. The second one would be add a microphone. Because again, we like that intimate crackle of somebody's voice instead of the echo of the room or a muffled sound. And as you get further away from your computer, and sometimes people have their computer, you know, at least arm's length away, the sound gets a little worse than it typically is. I just got the Zoom thumbs up by putting my hand out. That's cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
But ultimately, and microphones don't have to be expensive. They can get a USB-C microphone for, you know, $50 to $100, plug it in, or you can go high quality. This is a couple $1,000 microphone I'm talking to you on that goes into a mixer and our editing equipment, but it doesn't have to be a super expensive microphone. Also you see a lot of people who do a lot of conference calls. They have that little boom microphone on a headset. You kind of sound like a little bit of a telemarketer that way, or like you're in the drive-thru. I'm not a fan of that. It's a strong microphone. I would say just, you know, a $50 or $100, you know, USB-C microphone does a great job of collecting good sound. And if you do have echo, it's simple. I can't see your desk right now, Jay. So you could simply put a pillow on the desk in front of you and that's going to absorb a lot of the echo.
Oh yeah. It's a hardwood. It's
yeah. So our sound bounces off, our voices bounce off of hard surfaces. And when you don't have a hard surface for that to bounce off of, you put a little sound treatment down.
Yeah, hardwood flooring and all that.
Yeah, it's
makes it worse.
This is a carpeted room. We have drapes hanging down all over the place that eliminate echo in this room. So you can kind of touch it up that way. People want to hear that you care. And when you have a more effective microphone, you can use a softer voice that is less, less aggressive in how you're talking to people. Mm. So you can hear how I can soften my voice a little bit, how I can slow it down, how I can lower it in order to accentuate my key points. That adds to how well people remember what you're saying, because it makes them feel differently. You're not preaching to somebody. You're not lecturing them. You're actually having a great intimate conversation with them. So
there could be subconscious.
Totally.
How the subconscious of the counterpart takes what's being articulated, because this is through a different medium, right? We're not in person.
Right.
Through the medium of the tech. And so these subtleties increase or decrease deconstructive conflict or constructive conflict.
Correct. Yeah. You don't have to be overbearing, over the top, things like that. I mean, it's what happens when you're overbearing, over the top, loud, aggressive, people's blood pressure goes up. They go into this survival mechanism, fight or flight, and they feel intimidated by what you're saying. And they won't remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel.
And the tech has an impact on that.
100%.
Lacking in it or what have you.
Yes.
Great.
So
what else? Anything else before we go into
two more quick tips here. Let's talk about lighting real quick.
Okay.
So you have pretty good lighting there. I can see your face pretty clear. The back of the room does kind of blend together because it's not well lit. You can see, I know a lot of people are listening to this, but ultimately you want to have some good key lighting. So you want to have lighting in the front, maybe a little bit overhead, or just be lit dramatically. I'm kind of lit dramatically. We have a large, there you go. Yeah, you got that. Well,
this thing, I have this ring.
Yeah, light ring. Those work pretty good. So, I mean, you've actually taken some steps to light yourself. So that's fantastic. Where a lot of people, if you're lighting.
Is that better with it there?
Yeah, that actually looks pretty good right there.
Moved it a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You have even lighting in your face. I have dramatic lighting. I have a big softbox.
It really looks great.
Thank you.
And if it didn't, I probably wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And then we have some accent lights in the back here. And then I have what's called a hair light, which there's a light that's bouncing off the back of my head right up here. Actually right up that way, that is kind of helping to light up the situation and push me away from the background. So if you don't have any lighting in the background, see these two lamps behind me?
Yeah.
Those push me away from the background as well. So if you lit up a couple of little things on your bookshelf behind you, it would actually push you towards the camera and it would clarify that shot of you a little bit more. So front lighting and back lighting, just kind of play with that a little bit. You got good front lighting. I would throw a small, you can do like a blue light or a red light or just a different color or something like that, a little accent light on that bookshelf behind you. And you could point it at a little trinket or something like that. But ultimately, you want to push yourself away from the wall behind you.
Well, now I'm sweating because I better get all this done before you come back.
I'm going to hold you accountable to that, buddy.
Yeah, it's something about responsibility reveals individuality, but accountability enforces it.
There you go.